certain blessings that God has promised his people. Covenant blessings, the blessings pertain to God's covenant. One great blessing that I can think of offhand is he's promised his people, those that have been made to feel the awfulness of their sin and have fled to him for refuge. He has told them that he'll never leave them nor forsake them. Never. I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. That's a great blessing. God. God over all and above all, none besides him will take us into consideration who are poor and puny and wandering and have no worthiness about us, no goodness whatsoever, nothing to recommend ourselves. God is freely and gladly sent his son to represent us, be accountable for us. And he said, I'll never leave you, like he said, I'll stay with you all, keep thick and thin. Amen. And he said, when you die, I'll raise you again. This corrupt body, he said, is going to die. He said, I'm going to raise you and give you a new body. That's a blessing that I want to talk about a little bit here this morning. Blessings of God. That's one of them. The dead shall be raised is a fundamental truth or doctrine of what we call Christianity. That's a fundamental truth, the resurrection. Martha and our Lord had reference to Lazarus. Martha said, I know in the last day, she said, the dead shall be raised. She believed in the resurrection. And our Lord said, well, he's not dead. She said, well, I know that the dead shall be raised in the last day. I believe in the resurrection. So the resurrection is a fundamental truth written throughout almost every chapter in the Bible. Something to say about resurrection, eternal life. There can't be any eternal life if there's not a resurrection. If when a man dies, it's all over with, then there's no eternal life about it. But there is a resurrection. The dead shall be raised is a fundamental truth in the Bible. And the same bodies shall be raised, shall be resurrected, which fell by death. Same bodies. But there's going to be a change which will pass upon them. And this change is absolutely necessary for their exalted state, into which they're going to be introduced. I read to you there where it says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So So if flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God, it's absolutely necessary to have a change in this body and bring it to an exalted state that it can adapt to the splendor and the glory of the heavenlies. This present condition of our bodies render them incapable of bearing the splendor of the heavens. Can't do it. The glory of the heavenlies and that heavenly world that our Lord talks about. If I go, I'll prepare a place for you. And I'll come back again, and where I am, there you'll be, in this heavenly world, this world of glory, so bright, so dazzling, that the flesh, being weak, couldn't handle it. Got to have a new body that's capable of adapting to this heavenly world. There's going to be a big change on these bodies that die and fall into the ground. Going to have a new body. Spiritual bodies. We're going to have a spiritual body, and that spiritual body is going to be a fit companion for our souls throughout the endless ages of the eternity. Now, I don't know what that body's going to be like. That is, I cannot give a description of it other than to tell you what the Bible says about it. And here in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, I want to read something to you. Verse 21 of that third chapter of the book of Philippians. Listen to what it says. This will give you some idea of what I'm talking about. That there must be a change, and there will be a change. It says in verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, our citizenship, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now what that's like, I cannot describe. But I know that it must be more than wonderful that this vile body, this corrupt body that's going to fall in death, going to decay and go back to the dust, he's going to change it. And it's going to be made like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And then over here in the book of John, 1 John, chapter 3, he tells us this. In the first verse, he tells us, of the great love of Almighty God. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called or named the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Then he continues and he says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, that is, right now, in these vile bodies, with all of our corruption, with all of our sin, all of our evil, and potential evil. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. That is, it hasn't been solemnly declared and revealed to the mind of the Apostle Paul. But he knows it's going to be a glorious thing, because he says, though it does not appear right now what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, that is, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. When he comes, every eye shall see him. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So, the present makeup or constitution of our bodies render us incapable of bearing the splendor of that heavenly world. So the Lord is going to change our vile bodies and make us like his glorious self. And these spiritual bodies will have, and they'll be fit companions for our soul throughout all the eternity. So it's impossible for me, anyhow, to form an adequate idea of the spiritual body. But if I know that I'm going to be like him in his glorified body, the glorified body of our blessed Redeemer, if I'm going to be like that, well then, I certainly will be satisfied. There's a verse of scripture, I think it's authored by David in the 51st Psalm, that says something that'll be of some help to us, I believe. Maybe the 17th Psalm. The 17th Psalm. David concludes in this 17th Psalm. He says, From men which are Thy hand, O Lord, from the men of the world which have their portion in this life, whose belly Thou fillest with Thy hid treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. Here's the verse. David concludes this. As for me, I will behold Thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. So I like that. David, although couldn't describe this spiritual body, and Paul couldn't describe this spiritual body, And you and I can't even form the remotest idea of what this spiritual body will be like. But we have His word that we will be changed in a twinkling of an eye, and these corrupt bodies will take on incorruption, these mortals will take on immortality, and will be like Him. And David said, I'll be satisfied when I wake up in His likeness. So that's a blessing. That's a blessing that's afforded to the people of God, to the people who are the lowly followers of the Lamb of God, who recognize who He is, who bow to His authority, who receive Him, recognize Him, acknowledge Him, and trust in Him. This is a blessing that we will experience, that we'll have this body like unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And David said, I will be satisfied. Well, I'm far from being satisfied now, aren't you? I'm not satisfied with my body now. Maybe I ought to be satisfied, but I'm not satisfied. I'll only be satisfied when I wake up in His likeness. Then I'll be satisfied. But I have this blessing. I have this hope. I have this hope implanted in my soul that one day I will be like Him. Now, there's a blessing that I want to mention that will add to the blessedness of His people at that day. At that day. I said there's many blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus that were promised by God. And all the promises of God are yea and amen in the Lord Jesus. And they are eternal promises. And they come from God who cannot lie, who's immutable and He cannot change. So we derive joys and comforts out of these promises. And I've mentioned to you this one particular promise, which, when we die, we'll take on a spiritual body and be like unto the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And another thing will add to this blessedness at that day is that there will be a public acquittal of all of His people. There will be an open forum before all the people that ever lived in this life. They'll all be gathered there. A innumerable company of billions and billions and billions of people that ever lived on this universe, according to the Word of God. And there will be a public acquittal by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the quick and the dead. A public acquittal of all of His people before billions and billions of people who lived upon this earth, public acquittal. He's going to say they're not guilty. He's going to publicly own and recognize at that day, open. Well, when he comes, when this time comes, there's going to be a host of angels that can't be numbered that will accompany him. And there shall be a brightness, a blaze of glory, brighter than 10,000 suns, that will be focused on him, the great judge, the Lord Jesus, the Savior of his people. And there's going to be a great white throne erected, clear as light, and fiery as a flame, bright as 10,000 suns. And all at once the judge will appear. And as I've already said, innumerable millions, billions of rational creatures that people this universe will be there. They'll be assembled there, and the books will be opened, the Bible. And they'll be anxious spectators awaiting the results of the opening of the books, because they're going to be judged out of the books. And there's no one to worthy to open the book except him, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus himself. And they're waiting here for these books to be opened. Billions of people, wicked people, unbelievers. They never believed the testimony of God concerning his son while they walked upon this earth. They never gave a serious thought in their lifetime in regard to him whom God said is my son. And his name is Jesus. And he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he's the only potentate. And every knee shall bow and recognize. But there's going to be billions and billions and billions of people anxious, nervous. Their tongues cleaving to the roof of their mouth. They're going to be trembling, scared to death, anxious spectators waiting the results of the opening of the books. The wicked, wicked in this life, unbelievers, will not submit themselves to the righteousness of God in his Son. Hands trembling and hearts throbbing with horror, knowing that their damnation is right around the corner. But there's another crowd that's going to be there, and they are the righteous. They've been made righteous by the imputation of the righteousness of the Son. They've been made righteous. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ has been freely charged to their account. They are the ones that our Lord says, blessed is the man to him to whom I will not impute sin. They're bold and they're unafraid. And I'll tell you why. Because the great judge is their friend. And he's their savior. And so they're not afraid. The righteousness in which they appear was performed, was wrought, and established by him who's the great judge upon this throne, who will open the books and render righteous judgment upon the wicked and the unbelievers. But they're not afraid. They're bold. Because their righteousness came from him. And the plea and the cry that these righteous people make, he cannot reject, because their plea is his blood, which was shed for the remission of their sins. And he cannot reject that plea and that cry. But what about the cry of these billions and billions of souls that never had a serious inquiry as to the being of the Lord Jesus Christ, or one serious thought while they was on this earth? What about them? Here they stand. These that are bold, not afraid. Here they stand, not to have any new or fresh charges laid against them. Oh no. They'll not have anything laid to their charge. For there's no condemnation in them. Who can lay anything to the charge of God today? It's Christ that died. It's Christ that justified them. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. They cry and plead his blood, and he cannot reject their cry. So here they stand. No new charges brought against him. When he died in their stead, in their place, in their room, all of their sins, from start to finish, from the time they was born to the time they died, was all gathered. Infallible wisdom, infinite wisdom. All their sins was gathered and laid on him. And he paid what they owed. He established a righteousness and freely imputed it to them. He was obedient to that holy law, representing them. Here he stands, the judge, with the book in his hand, standing accountable for all those that he represents. No new charges shall be laid to their charge. They're honorably acquitted from all charges in the presence of all these angels and the whole assembled population of people that ever lived upon the face of the earth, from Adam until the last child that is born. They're all going to be there. Unimaginable, inconceivable, that God can do this. Raise everybody up. Everybody's going to be there. Some's going to be on his right hand. Some's going to be on his left. Big day coming. You talking about a big day coming? There's going to be a day which is a day beyond all days. This day when that great white throne is erected, and our Lord Jesus Christ, the great conqueror, the chief captain of captains, the general of the army, the maker of all things, surrounded by angels, the whole solemnity of the occasion, the background of the angels, singing glory to God in the highest. Gonna be a time. The sentence of justification, long before pronounced in the court of heaven, and in the court of a man's conscience at the time of his conversion, is now publicly recognized. That time that when you was converted, when God converted you from your sin and turned you over to Him, when Christ was made known to your soul, when there was a change in your attitude, a change in your understanding, when light dispelled the darkness, understanding came and ignorance came, and you see in the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior of sins. That's when you was justified. You was justified in the court of heaven before the world ever was. And you was justified here in time when Christ was manifested to your soul and becomes. And God's going to publicly recognize you one day in the end. And that's an added blessing to the blessedness of being like Him. That's going to be. You ever got no recognition here? No one ever come around and patted you on the back, did they? Said, we admire you for your tenacity of faithfulness, that you go to church every Sunday and you give your money. You never pat yourself on the back. You help your neighbor. You do what you can for the glory of God. There's no one put your name in the paper. No one has got you aside and exalted you, but they will one day. God will publicly acknowledge you. You'll stand out. Turn with me to the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew for a few minutes. Here in this 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 22, I believe it is. Here, the judge, that's the Lord Jesus now, he takes notice of his people's labor of love. He takes notice of his people's works. He takes notice. No one takes notice now. We all take one another for granted. If we never too much commend one another, we just kind of feel, well, he's just doing what he ought to do. He's been quickened by the Spirit of God, and what he does is for the glory of God, and we never say much to him about it. Maybe we ought to, but we don't. But there's come a time when the judge, the great judge, he's going to take notice of his people's work. And he says here, He says here in chapter 7 and verse 22, he's talking to these unbelievers and these wicked individuals. But I'll say that I want to turn to chapter 22 first. Chapter 22, I believe. Chapter 25 of Matthew. Yeah, that's where I want. Chapter 25. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand. On his right hand. That's the sheep. Those on his right hand are those that have been justified in time and justified in eternity. Those that have been quickened by his Spirit. Those that have trusted him. And he's going to say to them, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, he says, come ye blessed of my Father. That's what public recognition. The whole world's there. Everybody that was ever born's there. And it's quiet. You can hear a pin drop. And he's going to say to all of them, he says, come ye that blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. This kingdom, he said, was prepared for you. It's not something that just happened today. It was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. According as he hath chosen us from the foundation of the world. When he chose us in Christ, he prepared a kingdom for us. And he says, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Here he takes notice of his people's labor and his people's works. He said, for I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Here the judge takes notice, publicly acknowledges before the whole world. He takes notice of his people's words when they make no mention of them. They make no mention of their works. He's pleased to mention their labors of love before this untold number of people. They seemed to have forgotten that they've done anything like this. They don't even remember these things. Then shall the righteous say, Lord, when saw thee hungry, and fed thee, and thirsty, and gave thee to drink? When did we see thee as a stranger and took thee in? Or when did we see you naked and clothed? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to visit? They made no mention of their works, did they? But he's pleased to mention their labors of love. They seemed like they didn't remember that. They had forgotten that. Now listen to me. of all that I said this morning. If you perchance forget what I said, don't forget this. Don't forget this. This is a plain proof, beyond question, that they did not expect salvation by their works, because they never thought of such a thing. Now, what did they expect salvation from? By the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they expected. They didn't expect to gain favor with God because they visited some sick person in the hospital, or clothed some naked man, or give some hungry man some food and a quarter. They didn't believe that they was going to gain favor with God by doing that. They didn't even make mention of it. They believed that salvation was by the grace of God. Salvation was by having the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to them. And they believed in Him and trusted Him. They never thought of anything like that. No, sir. Christ was their righteousness, and that was sufficient for them. Oh, their works, their labors, were so designed to glorify Him. They did these things in order that He who was their Savior might be honored and exalted and glorified. They didn't do them in order to gain favor with Him. They were performed by them to glorify Him, to express their love, their gratitude, their appreciation, their thankfulness for His benefits, for His salvation. And so conscious are they of their imperfections, cleaving, sticking to their performances, their works, that they were ashamed even to mention. Whereas, in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, our Lord represents the reason of hope in these self-righteous people. Chapter 7. And verse 22. Verse 21, our Lord says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." The will of God is that you believe in His Son. That's God's will for you, that you believe in His Son. This is the work of God, that we might believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus. Now, there's some of you here this morning, you've never in your lifetime given any serious thought about this matter. You just haven't done it. You've been playing along, but you haven't thought about it. You haven't given Him a second of your time. Well, there's going to be a time of judgment. Listen to this now. Not everyone that says, "Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord." These people that are recommending themselves before God, they're going to say, "Have not we preached in your name? And in thy name cast out devils? and in thy name done many wonderful works. But he'll answer unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. They plagued their own works, their religious duties, their great usefulness to the kingdom of God as a sufficient reason why they should be admitted into the kingdom of God. This is what we've done. Not that they pretend to have done these things by their own strength or their natural ability. They say, all that we have done in your name. You read that shit. We have prophesied in your name. We have cast out devils in your name. They said, we haven't done this in our own strength. All was done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by his authority and by his assistance, so to say. We have done this and we have done that. That's their cry and that's their plea. They thought of coming to heaven by their own good works. And they did their own good works for that end, for that reason. And that was their hope. And he said, depart from me. He cast them into hell. And they went into hell with all of their fine recommendations, with all their imaginary goodness, with all their cries and all their pleas. They went smack dab into hell. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, he'll enter in. They did not have the least expectation whatsoever. Lord, we did this. They had done it for their own good. But those on his right hand, they didn't even remember anything they'd ever done. So that's conclusive proof that they're not dependent on their works to get them to heaven. When did we do this? He remembered them, but they didn't. Oh, what an added blessing to the fact that we're going to be like him and we're going to be publicly acknowledged before God and before the blessed Son and the blessed Holy Spirit and all the peoples of the earth. We're going to be publicly acknowledged. Well, if that don't help you, there ain't much that will. Huh? Let's stand. We'll meet again this evening.